scripture reading. The passage we'll be working with is Matthew 1, verses 18 through 25. If you're using the Pew Bible, it happens to be on page 1 in the back part, the New Testament. Page 1, Matthew 1, 18 through 25. Let's read this together. Now the birth of Jesus Christ was as follows. When his mother Mary had been betrothed to Joseph, and before they came together, she was found to be with child by the Holy Spirit. And Joseph, her husband, being a righteous man, and not wanting to disgrace her, planned to send her away secretly. But when he had considered this, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary as your wife, for the child who has been conceived in her is of the Holy Spirit. She will bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. Now all this took place to fulfill what was spoken by the Lord through the prophet. Behold, the virgin shall be with child, and shall bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which translated means God with us. And Joseph awoke from his sleep and did as the angel of the Lord commanded him and took Mary as his wife, but kept her a virgin until she gave birth to a son, and he called his name Jesus. May the Lord bless our reading and understanding of his word and our pastor as he comes to share the word with us.
Amen. Good morning. It's good to see all your smiling faces. Merry Christmas early to you. And if you would please open in your Bibles to Matthew chapter 16, which will be our text this morning. For those of you who are new here, if this is your first Sunday, I hope you got a welcome packet. If not, we will get you one. Please don't leave without one. You never know. There could be a $10,000 check in there. I doubt it, but you never know. It is great to see your faces, and let's go to the Lord in prayer, and then we'll begin our exposition of Scripture this morning. Dear Heavenly Father, I don't know how many people are in this room. I don't have that information, but I know that you know every single human being that's in this room. I know that you know how many hairs they have on their heads, and that you know everything about them from the first breath they took. And even before that, even till the end of their life into eternity. Lord, you know a tremendous amount about us. We know very little of you. You are so beyond our human capabilities. You are an amazing mystery to us. And so, Lord, I pray that first of all this morning, you would, by your Holy Spirit, break down our arrogant, prideful ideas that we think we know everything. I pray that you would grant us the humility to know that there's only one truth, and if that truth is known, it is to be celebrated, and if it is not known, it's to be pursued. I pray if there's someone here this morning who does not know you as Lord and Savior, I pray that you would help them even now to begin to let go some of their prejudices against biblical Christianity, that they would put aside their issues and focus on the text of Scripture. I pray that you would help us to communicate to them, not only by the word, but also in our example, that you are a God of great grace and love and power and sovereignty and justice. Lord, I pray if there's someone here this morning who does not know you as Lord and Savior, that you would grant to them life. That you would call to them through your word by your Holy Spirit and cause them to be born again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to obtain an inheritance which is imperishable and undefiled and will not fade away, reserved in heaven for them who are protected by the power of God through faith. I pray that most of all this morning you would be pleased and honored by us, that you would forgive us and in so doing bring glory to you and to your Son. Lord, we pray these things always to the praise of your glory. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Well, since it's Christmas this week, I thought that I would give a unique opportunity to volunteers from the audience. I'm going to give you the opportunity to win cash and or prizes this morning. In a little game that shall remain nameless, we are going to give 3 lucky volunteers a chance to win a really great gift. So if you are one of those 3 predestined volunteers, would you please come up here this morning right now and we will get to our special game. You know who you are? Yes! All right. The 3 wise men, I call them. Well, not behind their backs. I call them something else, but that's all right. Let me explain the rules of this game, okay? The rules are very simple. There's only one thing in this gift bag, okay? Only one thing. Go ahead and stand with the other victims, chumps. There's only one thing in this gift bag. That's rule number 1. Rule number 2, you cannot duplicate somebody else's guess, okay? So if somebody guesses something, you can't say the same thing. Rule number 3, whoever guesses what's in this gift gets the gift, okay? Pretty simple. Okay, so Joe, why don't we start with you since you're the closest to me. You have an advantage. Take a guess. What is in this gift bag?
I would say a belly button blow dryer.
A belly button blow dryer. Okay, outstanding. That is a little weird. That's outstanding. That's great. Praise God. Odds are no advantage there. Okay, Mark. What do you think is in this gift bag?
Paper is in that bag.
Besides the paper, you're disqualified. Get out of here. All right, rule number 4, the paper doesn't count. What is in this gift bag, do you think? Ooh. Ooh. Go sit down, Mark. Go ahead. It's too much on him. Throw something out there.
Throw something out there.
It's only 45-minute sermon. I got
Maxwell House.
It is Maxwell House coffee, says Mark. Okay? Jeff, you got a pretty easy call at this.
I'll go with a gift card to the smokehouse.
A gift card to the smokehouse. Now, before we reveal our winner, let me say there's probably going to be more opportunities later on in our sermon time, okay? But before we release our winner, there's one question I want to ask you. Can they all be right? If there's one thing in the bag, and they say 3 different things, can they all be right? Go ahead, answer me, church. It's okay. The questions get harder as we go. It's all right. They cannot be all right, right? Because there's something in the bag, we assume, okay? And it's only one thing in the bag. That's the rule. And they all said different things. Can they all be right? No. Can they all be wrong? Yes. How do you know? Open the bag, right? That's the only way you know. They can't all be right. We agree? They could all be wrong. So whoever guesses what's in this gift bag gets what's in this gift bag. But there's only one way to know, and that is to open it. Unfortunately, I don't know how you did this, Joe. But unfortunately, you are wrong. I'm sorry. Jeff? As valiant of an effort as you put forth, unfortunately, you are also wrong. Not the first time. And Mark, it gives me great pleasure to tell you, you are also wrong. So this blew up in my face a little bit. No, I'm just kidding. Does anybody else want to venture a guess what could possibly be in this bag? I hear candy. Rod, you're wrong. I'm sorry. What else? Candle, there's a Bible, there's candle. All of you are wrong. Let's figure out what's in this bag, shall we? No, I'm just kidding. Is there anything in this bag? Yes, in this bag.
Paper.
There was paper and a book, just a plain old book. This is a Christmas devotional by John Piper called The Dawning of Indestructible Joy. And since you're the only one who guessed anything that happened to be in the bag, here you go, Mark. I appreciate it. Okay, please go sit down. And if anybody wants a gift bag, they can't have it. It's mine. Okay? Now, what's the point? Why do that? Well, here's why. I'm going to ask you a question this morning. And the question I ask has only one right answer. All of you may be wrong. But unless all of you have the same opinion, all of you cannot be right. And the only way we know whether the answer you would give is correct or incorrect is to open the Bible and to see. In Matthew chapter 16, Jesus asks a question of his men. And he asks this in order to show them what the answer, the right answer is, but somebody answers it for him. In Matthew 16, starting in verse 13, it says this, "Now when Jesus came into the district of Caesarea Philippi, he was asking his disciples, 'Who do people say that the Son of Man is?'" That's the question, at least the first question. What do people say the Son of Man is? Now, this question can have a plethora of different answers. Agreed? Right? Because this is asking, what do people say? What do people say about the Son of Man? That's another title for Jesus. The question that I would like to ask you this morning is based on this text, but a little different. Simply this. Who's Jesus? Who is Jesus? Okay? That takes the human element out. It's not, who do you say Jesus is? The question is, who is Jesus? Now, you all have to answer. Not out loud, but you all have to answer that question. And friends, all of you may be wrong, but the only way that all of you would be right is if you all agreed on the same answer and that answer was biblical. Can I suggest to you that there's no greater question in the universe today, now, than this? Who is Jesus? This time of year, we get so many answers. And some of you may have thought this. You may have said, well, Jesus is the baby in Bethlehem. But he's not. I mean, he was a baby, and he was born in Bethlehem, but that was years ago. And he grew up. I know a lot of us are comfortable with that image of Jesus. And we like to, you know, have this idea of this cute little baby all snuggly-wuggly. But he's not anymore. So who's Jesus? Many of you may say, well, you know, Jesus is a religious leader. A man, and simply a man, who started a movement. And you're wrong. He's so much more than that. Some of you may say that Jesus is an idea, that he's not really even a human at all. He's not a historical fact. He is just a tradition that we break out in December, and you would be wrong. See, the point is, friends, is I'm not asking you who is Jesus just because I'm curious as to what your answer would be. So don't, first of all, don't miss the question. The question is, who is Jesus? But realize, you do not get to decide who Jesus is. When I held up the gift bag, and one of our great contestants said, a belly button dryer. And another one said, paper. Yeah, why I oughta. And then another one said this. What was in the bag, do you realize, didn't change no matter what they said, right? It's not in a constant state of flux so that whatever they determine it to be, it is, right? Then why does our culture face God that way? It's silly. It's ridiculous. It is illogical, while at the same time they call us illogical for believing in Jesus by faith. Have you ever heard people say things like this? Well, that's what's good for you. That's what God is for you. That's what you determine him to be. And I got a different one, and you got a different one. And what you like is fine, and what I like is fine. Kumbaya, my Lord, right? The problem is, it's a lie. And so when you're talking to someone about Jesus, and they offer their opinion of Jesus, either they're wrong, or you're wrong, or you agree and you're both wrong, or you're both right. Truth is, by its very nature, absolute. And so whoever Jesus is, can be known, should be known, and must be believed. So I'm not saying, who do you determine Jesus to be? You may want Jesus to be a kind, grandfatherly type being who only grants you what you want, but never gives you what you deserve. That's not the Bible. That's not Jesus. I don't know what that is. So don't miss the question. Secondly, friends, don't ignore the question. I know what some of you may be thinking. I don't know this. I guess that some of you may be thinking this. I came to a Christmas service, and I wanted to hear some nice music, and I wanted to hear, you know, peace on earth, goodwill to men, and here's this guy asking me questions, and he's making me feel uncomfortable, so la, 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 la. Don't do that. Don't ignore the question, because it's an important question. Some questions must be answered. Other questions do not need to be answered. This question must be answered, so don't ignore it. Don't let it slip. Don't let the 26th of December hit your soul like a rock because you have given no time yet to the thought of Christ and who he is and what he means and what he offers. Don't ignore the question, friends. Thirdly, who is Jesus? Don't answer the question flippantly. Don't just say, ah, he's this. Well, why? Why do you say he's that? I hear so many things. I love hearing people talk about Jesus, whether it's on TV or the radio, in print, or face-to-face. And some of the things you hear are just a little wacky if you believe the Bible. Things like this, well, Jesus was just a political revolutionary. He came down in order to stick it to Rome. Really? Jesus? Well, not if the Bible's worth the paper it's printed on, because the Bible says he was killed by Rome, willingly. He's not a revolutionary. As I've said before, he's come to explain what God is. He's a revelationary. Some say that Jesus is just a good moral teacher, but we decided that his morals were bad. Okay? You know, even Muslims have to do something with Jesus. They have to say he's a prophet. Every false religion in the world has to do something with Jesus, and most of them try to incorporate Jesus into their system somehow. There's a ton of questions, or a ton of answers offered, but none of them hold up to what the Bible actually says, and we'll get to that in a minute. Let's look at verse 13 again. Now, when Jesus came into the district of Caesarea Philippi, he was asking his disciples, "Who do people say that the Son of Man is?" Notice in verse 14, and they said, some say John the Baptist, and others Elijah, and still others Jeremiah, or one of the prophets. Notice that people have never agreed on the answer to this question. They've never agreed. And so, you know, if you ever have this thought saying, you know, if everybody loves Christmas, why can't we just agree on who Jesus is? Well, the answer is, nobody's ever agreed on who Jesus is. I mean, there's the truth and there's everybody else. But the everybody else includes a plethora of different options. Even in Bible times, some thought he was Jeremiah. Some thought he was Elijah. Some thought he was John the Baptist. Or some thought he was one of the prophets. So when you're watching TV this week and you see a History Channel made for TV special on the historical Jesus, and the Jesus, the portrait they paint, is nothing like the Bible, don't let that shake you. People who have not believed in Jesus have always disagreed as to what he really is. And so our job as Christians and your job as those who are here today who do not know the Lord Jesus Christ yet as your Savior, your calling is to figure out who he is. But whatever position you take, there will be people who disagree with you vehemently, loudly. So who is he, and how do we know? Does this mean that the answer cannot be known? I mean, if there's so many opinions out there, doesn't that mean it's unclear? Well, let me suggest to you an answer to that question. This is just my suggestion, but I think it would have biblical basis. The reason why there's so many opinions is not because the answer isn't clear. It's because the answer is not acceptable to the world. Because Jesus says this, if you want to follow me, deny yourself, take up your cross, and follow me. And nobody wants to do that. Some of us do, begrudgingly and by the power of God, as we'll talk about later. But no, nobody in their natural state wants to deny themselves. None of us want to take on a cross, and none of us want to do what Jesus commands. So it's not that the answer is not clear in the Bible, it's that the answer is unacceptable to our culture. And if you don't believe this, in Polly's this week, you're walking around, people are food shopping, you walk right up to them, bump, bump, ba-da-dum, bump, bump, ba-da-dum, how are you? And they'll go, good, how are you? And you say, good, do you realize that Jesus commands you to obey him perfectly? How does that make you feel? Cool, right? They'll be like, I'm just trying to get potatoes, right? But ask them, how does it make you feel that Jesus doesn't ask, he demands obedience from you? Friends, if you are not a believer in Jesus Christ, you may never have heard this before. Hopefully, Emmanuel Bible Churchers have. Jesus does not request obedience. He demands obedience. The answer isn't unclear. It's unacceptable. Does this mean then, secondly, that we should all just agree to disagree? Now, obviously, there has to be some of this, right? Or else we'd constantly be fighting with everybody. But I would say there should be very little of this in your life. And when your friends say, well, you're really into Jesus, but I don't think Jesus was God and man. I don't think he was God veiled in flesh, the Godhead see, hail the incarnate deity. I just think he was, and whatever they finish the sentence with. Christians, it is your calling and your job and your responsibility to gently, thoroughly correct them and say, no, this is what Jesus is. Not, this is what Jesus is to me. This is what Jesus is. That's why we get together every Sunday, to worship him for being who he is, but then to learn and to be trained how to communicate to others what he is. And I praise God for the thought that someone might be here this morning who doesn't know, who's never thought about who Jesus is. My prayer is that God would communicate these things to you through this weak preaching and by his Holy Spirit, make it come alive in your hearts. Another question is this: does this mean that the Bible is somehow unclear as to who Jesus is? Of course not. And so let's skip then to number 3 in verse 15. People have never agreed on the answer to this question. In verse 15, we will see that people must be confronted with this question. Verse 15 says this, and he said to them, I love this, who do you say that I am? Well, Jesus, we're following you. Right? I mean, these are his disciples. They're the in ones. They're the blessed ones. They're the ones that are listening to his teaching and following in his footsteps. And Jesus says this, who do you say that I am? That's the question. How about you? Maybe you're thinking this. Well, I'm in church. So, of course, I know who Jesus is. Well, do you? Who do you say Jesus is? Not in the sense that you get to determine it, but in the sense that you must be confronted with this truth. And I hope this sticks in your brain. I hope you unwrap your presents on the 25th or the 24th, if that's your thing. And you get all excited. And you say, Mom, I love you. Dad, I love you. And you hug around. And you're like, this is such a great day. And then in your brain, you hear this question. Who is Jesus? Is he better than this? Is he separate from this? Is he secondary to this? Friends, you must be confronted with this question. Who do you say Jesus is? And another question would be, on what basis do you give that answer? Well, some of you may say, I believe Jesus is a great philosopher because that's what I always heard. Well, maybe what you heard was wrong. Well, maybe you say, I believe Jesus was just a like a guru. He gave us spiritual truths that we can take or leave, or however it works for us. Because that's what I was always told. Well, friends, maybe you're wrong. Maybe some of you are saying, I believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God, not because I've ever read it for myself, but because the pastor keeps telling me that, and he seems like a reasonable guy. And then the person next to you says, are you serious? You nuts? And my hope is that you don't just take my word for it. Go to the book. Answer that question. Let it unsettle you. And then, friends, let God settle you. Why do you believe what you believe? And what is it that you are to believe? We'll get to that, I promise. In verse 15, it says this, he said to them, but who do you say that I am? And in verse 16, we see that people are called to acknowledge the answer to this question. I've always had a soft spot in my heart for Peter because he's, I think I'm a lot like him in many ways. Big mouth, say stupid things, feel bad about it later. That's how Peter is. He's so impulsive, he'll spout out great theology one minute, and the next minute, Jesus is calling him the devil. True. That's me. In fact, one author called Peter the apostle with the foot-shaped mouth. Right? That's me, right? But notice what he says in verse 16. I love this, guys. I hope this moves you like it does me. It says, Simon Peter answered, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. Now, Christ is not Jesus' last name. It's his title. And when Peter is saying this, he's saying, you are the Mashiach, the Messiah, the Anointed One. What does this mean? This means that in the Old Testament, God promised that there would be a special human, a special man born, who would have the anointing of God on him, and he would be able to usher in the kingdom and lead and rule by David's might and beyond. Peter says this, I believe you are the God-ordained king. Awesome. That's who Jesus is. That's the answer. When people say to you, who is Jesus? What is Jesus? You say, he's the Lord, the messianic king, born in a stable in Bethlehem 2,000 years ago, but he grew up. He grew up to live, to die, to rise, to ascend, and to reign. He is coming back. In Yoda language. It was weird English there. Jesus is the Christ, the Messiah, Lord, the King. But notice what Peter goes on to say. The Son of the living God. Now, as we talked about in previous weeks, I know if you're here for the first time, you're not going to get this, but that's fine. This is not connected to the other sermons. When the Bible calls Jesus the Son of God, it's saying that Jesus has the traits of God. He is God in nature himself. So Peter is saying this, you are the promised, anointed, conquering king, and you are God made man. And friends, that is the right answer, and that is the only right answer. Church, do you believe this? Because that's Christmas. It's beautiful. It's Christmas. Not that out of many truths you get to pick one, but out of one truth you get to be saved. Outstanding. Notice in verse 17 that people are empowered by God to answer this question. I love how Jesus responds here, right? Because what we would think Jesus would respond is by saying this, Peter, such a smart dude. Look at you. Notice what he says. Peter, this isn't from you. You're not smart. Right? Look, verse 17. And Jesus said to him, blessed are you, Simon Bar-Jonah, which means son of Jonah. Simon's Peter's other name. He has a lot of names. Because flesh and blood did not reveal this to you, but my Father who is in heaven. What does this mean? Friends, this is what it means. If you are not yet a believer in Jesus Christ, but as I talk, you feel something in your heart where you're starting to think, you know what, there's something to this. I think I'm believing this. I think this is changing me. I think there's something to this. That is God in your heart, revealing to you that Jesus is real. So don't leave without responding to that. Jesus says this, you're blessed, Peter, because you didn't figure it out on your own. Your parents didn't teach you this. You have been taught this by God. I love that for a couple reasons. One, it protects you from me, right? Because if God's the one who's supposed to give you life, then I don't have to worry about being very clever. All I have to do is be accurate and try not to get in the way, and God's going to do something in your heart. The Bible says that the natural man cannot accept the things of God, 1 Corinthians 2:14. They are foolishness to him, and he cannot understand them because they're spiritually appraised. So in order for you to believe, God has to work on your heart. So if you find yourself believing, that's God. That's God drawing you, working in you, and he will have you. It's just a matter of time. So respond and say, I do, I believe in this. I believe in you, Jesus. I want to follow you. I accept it. Will you accept me? John 6:44 says, no one can come to the Father unless the Father who sent me draws him. So if you're being drawn, guess what? It's God working in you. Another verse, if you're taking notes, Acts 16:14 says this, a woman named Lydia from the city of Thyatira, a seller of purple fabrics, a worshiper of God, was listening, and the Lord opened her heart to respond to the things spoken by Paul. My prayer would be this morning that the Lord would open your heart to respond to this message. Friends, we'll begin to close with this. Those of you who don't know me yet know that it takes me a while to get to the end. The last point that we'll make is this. People must embrace the message behind this question. Who's Jesus? What is Jesus? What are his claims? Are they true? These are questions you can ask and have answered, not only at Emmanuel Bible Church, but that's where we are, but at any real Bible-believing church anywhere you live. But these are the questions you should be asking. What is Jesus? What does he claim to be? Can we believe what the Bible says? The answer is yes. He claims to be God and man, and that's what he is, the Christ, the Son of the living God. But take my word for it up to a point, but then go back and see for yourself. First of all, friends, you must embrace this in your mind. I'm calling you by God's grace to believe something. And I'm not relying on my own persuasiveness, praise God, but I do want you to believe this. And so if you're not ready to believe, keep asking these questions. Secondly, you must embrace this message in your heart. What this means is that there must be an emotional response. You have to say, I love this. This is awesome. Or else it's not quite real to you yet. If somebody came up to you and said, I have $1 billion in a bag and you can have it, you would not respond like this. Oh, thanks. No, you'd be like, yes, if you believed him. See, there has to be something, you have to accept it in your mind or receive it in your mind. You have to embrace it in your heart. And the third thing is you have to embrace this message in your life. What this means is from now on, you will ask these questions and answer them and follow him. Friends, I would love for today to be the day that you are born again, that you come to know the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior. I would love for today to be the start of the greatest Christmas you've ever had. I would love for today to be the day where you ask the question, what is Jesus? Who is Jesus? And responded. Here's how you respond. You don't have to close your eyes. You don't have to bow your head. You don't have to walk the aisle. You don't need to write a check. What you do is in your heart and in your mind, you acknowledge that Jesus is there, that God is real. And you say, look, I believe this. I don't know everything, obviously, but I believe this. I believe that you are different than just a regular human being, Jesus, and I believe this, and I love this, and I'm excited about this, and I'm heartbroken over my sin, and so I receive this, and from now on, Lord, you take the keys, you drive, I just want to walk or ride with you. The Bible says in Romans 10 that all who call upon the name of the Lord will be saved, all of them. So do that. Please. It's not easy. It's simple, but it's not easy. Cry out to him. He will hear you. He will answer. You will be saved. Notice what verse 18 says. It's not part of my exposition, but we'll go there. I also say to you that you are Peter, Petros. And upon this rock I will build my church. And here's the part I want to notice. And the gates of Hades will not overpower it. When you know who Jesus is and you respond, hell can't touch you. Isn't that awesome? Now to close, I need to have your participation a little bit to make my final point. Okay? I'm going to read a couple of famous Christmas quotes from Christmas movies. And if you know the movie, I want you to shout out. Okay? There's no prize for this. Unless you like a gift bag. I have a very nice gift bag. Okay? Are we ready? First one. Christmas. Christmas means dinner. Dinner means death. Death means carnage. Christmas means carnage. Who got it? Who said that? Babe. All right. I'm not calling him that. That's the name of the movie. Good job. Wow, I didn't think anybody would get that. How about this? The best way to spread Christmas cheer is singing loud for all to hear. What is it?
Elf.
Elf. Okay. Very good. A lot of you know that one. Good. How about this? Faith is believing in things when common sense tells you not to. Miracle on 34th Street. Outstanding. You guys watch way too much TV. That was Miracle on 34th Street. What do all these quotes, and indeed all of these movies, have in common? Well, two things. One, I love these movies. I love Christmas movies. I love them. I watch them a lot, have some of them memorized. But that's not the important thing. The important thing they have in common is they have nothing at all to do with Jesus. And that's, you know, not everything does. You can watch a movie and it doesn't have to be about Jesus, but here's my point. You could love Christmas movies and not love the Christ of Christmas. And you may not even realize it. You may love these films and they may be Christmas to you, and the tree may be Christmas to you, and gifts might be Christmas to you, and the songs might be Christmas to you, and you may miss Christ. So do yourself a favor, and don't let that happen this year. Yeah, watch the movies, open the presents, trim the tree, but don't forget that there is a question in front of you, friends, the answer to which determines your eternity. See, Christmas is not about food, contrary to Babe. And it's not about cheer for its own sake, contrary to Elf, which is one of my favorites too. You bunch of cotton-headed ninny muggins. Thirdly, it's not even about appreciating your life. One of the quotes I didn't put in here is, you want the moon? Remember Miracle on 34th Street? Mary! Right? It's not about appreciating your life. It's not about food. It's not about cheer for its own sake. It's about one thing. And it's definitely not about believing in something contrary to common sense. It's about believing. Christmas is about believing a historical fact and putting all of our faith in the truthfulness of this fact. What is the true meaning of Christmas? that Jesus Christ, fully God, was born in Bethlehem to become fully man, that he led a real human life to really die for our very real sins. And he rose from the grave, he ascended into heaven, and he's returning for those who trust him. I hope that is you this morning. I hope you're one of those. And if not, and take this with the big grain of salt, because I mean it in love, I hope this question hounds you until you resolve it. Because I love you, and I want to see you come to know the Lord. Merry Christmas. Let's pray. Let's pray together, and then we'll sing. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for the gospel. Thank you for this message. I pray that by your grace, you would bring to mind this question of who Jesus is, what Jesus is, so that we would be hounded by it until we cast ourselves at your feet and accept the truthfulness of your word. Lord God, I pray that if someone's here this morning who's never given their life to you, that this morning would be that day, that they would cry out to you as we pray, silently in their heart, that they recognize that they're sinners, because we're all sinners, and that they would turn to you and ask you to forgive them and to come into their lives and to begin to rule them and lead them. I pray that you would make disciples this morning through the preaching of your word and the Holy Spirit and the songs that are sung. Lord God, I pray that if anyone came in here this morning as an unbeliever, that they would leave as a believer and have the greatest Christmas ever yet in their lives. Because it's not about the food, as awesome as that is. It's not about cheer for its own sake. It's not about having a wonderful life. It's not about any of these things. It's about you. Lord God, would you grant that wisdom to us to know these things and to respond to the praise of your glory in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Let's stand and sing. We'll sing.